السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد، الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبجزيل نعمائه، حمدا أبدا سرمدا ما دامت السماوات والأرض ومن بعد أن تزولا. والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد الرسول المبين الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. In this brief encounter we have until before sunset, few more reminders to myself and then to you about Dhunub and the impacts of Dhunub in our lives. There are different types of ma'asi as there are different types of ta'at, different types of sins as there are different types of righteous actions. There are many ways we can classify our deeds, in particular pertaining to those that are identified as dhunub. As we mentioned earlier today, every infraction or every violation of the right of God, of the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a dhunb. Every violation of the right of another creature, a human being or an animal or a bird or a plant, any violation of such a right granted to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such creatures is a dhunb. Dhunb is not only to be looked at in a narrow scope, but it in this extended wide spectrum. For those actions that, or those matters that come under the category of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are many. Examples, of course, tawheed, examples, of course, salah, zakah, sawm, and so on. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being truthful, etc. And those also that are classified under huququl ibad, the rights of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also too many to enlist, pertaining to the rights of other creatures, let's say human beings that we violate, or animals that we violate, taking life, someone else's life, taking someone else's property, beating someone, cursing at someone, ridiculing someone, lying to someone, lying about someone, backbiting someone. All these are examples of violations of the rights of human beings. Killing an animal, punishing or torturing an animal, being unnecessarily violent with an animal is a dhanb. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, in one of his expeditions, some perhaps young companions or so, they found this nest in a tree, and one of them climbed and picked the fledglings that were inside of that nest. And then suddenly the mother bird came flying around, roaming around. You know how birds react when you are close to their, you know, territory in which they have eggs or their own fledglings. And of course he read the message that the mother was feeling about her fledglings, and he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ فَجَّعَ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا وَرُدُّ إِلَيْهَا وَلَدَهَا. Who terrorized this mother by taking away from her her fledglings? Return to her her fledglings. About a bird, said he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught us that وَفِي كُلِّ كَبِدٍ رَطْبَةٍ أَجْرٍ, that in anything that we do that is good towards any creature, and the literal translation, a creature endowed with a moist heart or liver, kebid, the Arabic language, in any good that we do to any such creature, whether a bird or an animal or a human being, there is a reward for that, and the opposite leads to the opposite. So violations of the rights of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of all sorts are dhunub. Those who, a person who kills mercilessly and without remorse a cat, that person has the potential, the evil potential of killing unjustly a human being. That person who disregards and does not feel compassion for a bird or for an animal or for an ant, in my view, is a person who has the potential of being also hostile and being unjust and being oppressive and being aggressive and being violent and being criminal towards another fellow human being. When we lack that compassion for any creature, it's an indication that that's what we are inside, and very likely also towards other fellow human beings. The violation of the rights of any creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a dhamm. And that's why I choose this definition, a right of a creature, so that it remains quite expansive in its details, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines those rights for His creatures subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another classification of dhunub that we commit are al-kabair wa-sa'ir. There are sins that are considered as major ones, min al-kabair, the plural of kabira. And there are dhunub that are classified as sa'ir, plural of saghira, and or minor. Those dhunub that are minor relative to those that are major. It's a matter of relationship to the one that is grander in evil in scale. But a minor sin, if you look at it, yes, in relation to the major sin, it is minor relative to the major sin. And in relationship to its consequences also. But if you look at it in relationship to against whom we have sinned, then mu'min sees always every sin as major. Why? Because when we look at it from this perspective, against whom we have sinned, ultimately every sin is against what? Is a violation of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we put ourselves in front of Allah's magnanimity and generosity and kindness and love and compassion and patience and, yes, punishment and power and so on, then everything we do is humongous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's been nurturing me and feeding me and giving me and giving me life and giving me respite and after respite in the world and so on, and who created all that which is and all that which is to be enjoyed in this universe by all And yet, I respond to His ni'mah, I respond to His kindness, I respond to His generosity with greed and with disobedience and with rejection and with vanity and with arrogance and with concealing, subhanahu wa ta'ala, His ni'mah, His bounties and His grace by using the bounties and the grace that He gives me in ways that He dislikes. Using the very ni'mah that He gives me in ways that He dislikes. Using my eyes, using my ears, using my tongue, using my mind, using my hands and my legs and my sexual organs and my stomach. Using all of those in ways, they are all ni'mah, they are all bounties. Each one of them is a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I use it against what He created them for. That is ingratitude, that is kufranun ni'mah. That is rebellion, that is rejection of Allah's grace and compassion and love and mercy. When we look at it from this respect, then of course every ma'asiyah becomes major. That's why the mu'min, it is said, the believer sees every ma'asiyah as a mountain on top of his head about to fall on his head or her head. But the hypocrite, the munafiq, sees his or her sins just as a fly that landed on his nose and says, "Shht," like that. That's the munafiq. Sees every violation of the rights of Allah and the rights of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sees them light, like a fly only. Whereas the mu'min sees a violation of the right of Allah or the right of the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what it is in magnitude, sees it as a hill or as a mountain about to crash on top of his head or her head, my dear brothers and sisters. Yes, there are major sins and there are minor sins in this sense. And major sins like, and what is the major of all major sins? Again, ash-shirku billah. Ash-shirku billah. Ash-shirku billah wa al-ayyadu billah. To associate other partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, or intellectually, or spiritually, or in any way possible or perceivable. Shirk itself, in shirk itself there are levels or sub-levels from the violation of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His asma and His sifat, in His names and in His attributes. From violating the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His uluhiyya or His ubudiyya, His right of being worshipped and loved and feared and served. Tawheed, violating tawheed, the oneness or the affirmation of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His lordship, in His rububiyya. Or again, involving the nafs, the self, in the motivations and in the intentions behind deeds and behind acts of devotion and acts that are meant to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, involving the self, involving the nafs. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, amongst what he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرِ. That which I fear most for you after me is minor shirk. Riya, ostentation, riya. That is, riya is an act of not the limbs, not of the external senses, but is an act of the heart and of the mind. When we are motivated in what we do as good and righteous, internally the motivation is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, but is the nafs, the self. Some hawa of the nafs, some share of the nafs, some satisfaction of the self of the nafs. Along with, not necessarily instead of, it's worst of course, along with a motivation to satisfy and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Riya, min ra'a yura'i, to do things and to say things that are good and pleasing, but with an intention and motivation that is for the self, for the nafs, to be seen by others, for the nafs to feel satisfied by how people look at it. We live in a world where, you know, performing in front of others is something very, very desirable, to be seen by others and to perform instead of others, and to be hailed by others and to be held as cool and as this and as that, etc., and as special, and to clap hands and so on and so forth, and to keep one's mention in the memory of man, etc. All of that is hulul nafs, to do things, even good things, in order to be seen by man, in order to be hailed and praised and exalted and held in honor by man. That is riya, and that is a dhan, that is one of the worst dhunub. It is not yet like the major shirk, but it is. A person says la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, does good things, teaches, learns, communicates the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasts, is in dhikr and so on, learns, yet much of that or some of that is motivated by the gains of the nafs. The law for leadership, the law of to be ra'is, to be ahead, is one of the worst epidemics of the ailments, that is of the qulub, that plagues human beings and plagues those who have faith and those who believe and those who know, my dear brothers and sisters. That's shirk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffices that he calls it shirk. Yes, it is minor with respect to the major shirk, but it suffices of horror that he calls it shirk. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Uququl walidain is a major sin. Uququl walidain, disrespect to the parents, violating the rights upon us of the parents, being loud in front of our parents, disobeying our parents when they command us that which is not disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is min uquq al-walidayn wa min al-kaba'ir, of the major sins. In other words, sometimes much of the good things we may do will be nullified and neutralized by our, wal-iyadu billah, disobedience of our parents. By عقوق الوالدين. عقوق الوالدين طبعا كباقي الذنوب وهو ذنب من أكبر الكبائر من الموبقات السبع, as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم teaches us, تحبط الأعمال, will undo, will nullify, will neutralize the good deeds that we had done. Some minor sins neutralize some good deeds, let alone a major sin like عقوق الوالدين, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. This every Muslim should memorize, every child, and we are all children, because every parent is a child also, must memorize this and must repeat it and repeat it and struggle to internalize it and to actualize it, that we are not even to say oof to our parents, to not even to say oof to our parents, let alone annan harahuma, that we speak loud and in a way that is aggressive to them, or we violate their own rights, wal-iyadu billah, or simply we disobey them, and I repeat, in a matter in which there is no disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, they could be commanding us something that, yes, it is not disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I don't like it, but I find something better than it, I should not disobey them there. course, this is almost a dreamlike world, isn't it? Isn't it? Even amongst Muslims, to have young men and young women and older men and older women obey their parents in this way, as long as they did not command them to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عقوق الوالدين comes oftentimes as a major sin in the Quran and in the Sunnah after the shirk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا قل تعالوا أتل ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا. And the texts are many in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associates his tawheed right after that. He associates it with, he mentions after that, the obedience of the parents, my dear brothers and sisters. It is a major sin, عقوق الوالدين. الغيبة, backbiting. والعياذ بالله, killing life, of course, is a major sin. Stealing is a major sin. Shahadatu azur is a major sin. To testify falsely against someone in any environment of law or in any environment of testimony or in a court of law, to testify falsely against someone is min al kabair wal iyadu billah. To usurp the property of anyone is min al-kabair, and in particular the property of a yatim, of an orphan, is of the major sins, wal-iyadu billah. Committing zina is a major sin, wal-iyadu billah. Committing riba, consuming riba, is a major sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the least of riba is like, wal-iyadu billah, committing more than once zina with your own mother as a Muslim. Zina? Riba is worse than zina in this sense. So much. That the least of riba is like a person having committed more than once zina with his own mother as a Muslim. Fil Islam. Said he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. These are major dhunub. And dhunub have consequences, my dear brothers and sisters. Dhunub are not only وَكَفَى بِذَلِكَ إِثْمًا مُبِينًا طَبْعًا, and suffices that to be a momentous indeed sin, that dhunub are not only dhunub committed by the external senses, by our eyes and ears and tongue, the tongue and the hands and the legs and the sexual organs and the stomach and so on, but something we often also disregard or forget about are the sins committed batinan, ismul batin, committed with our hearts inside without any externalization of it. How is that? For example, of course, the worst of which is an act of the heart, is shirk, the violation of tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arrogance, to feel inside those bursts of superiority in my relationship with another person on the basis of my humanity, on the basis of my wealth, or my power, or my status. To feel that inside, that burst itself, if I do not repent from it, if I do not reject it, if I do not deny it, if I do not internally seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it, that itself is a zamb. A burst inside of me of, by the way, riya. Riya is a motivation, is an act of the qalb, is an intention. The fact that it exists without externalizing it, because it, how can you externalize riya? Riya is a state of the qalb, is a state of the mind or the qalb. And if I am in that state, I am in a state of dhan wa ithm batinan, internally. If I look at a human being or a brother or a sister and I ridicule them inside of me without saying it with my tongue, and I entertain that, that's a dhan, that's counted as a full dhan. لِأَنَّ الْأَعْمَالَ بِالنِّيَاتِ. For if I intended something inside of me, and I did not do it, I intended it and I did not do it, I did the opposite of it. Let's say I intended to I want to give a proper type of example, not to the fuqaha give many examples that are at this moment right here, not some of which have come to my mind are not proper for the sake of haya and other reasons. Well, let's say a person intended to kill another person. He intended to kill, let's say, his own brother. And he went and it was dark, and he killed actually a very evil person who was pursued by the law, who had killed many other lives. And it was a mistake. And he did not kill his own brother who was innocent. You know what? He has killed his brother already, and it counts as he has killed his brother, because his niyya, his act of his qalb was done and did not repent from, and went even to execute it, but it happens that he killed the wrong person. When I have a burst of ridicule towards another person, another human being, and I entertain it and I enjoy it and I do not deny it, that's an ism, that's an act of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a dhamb, my dear brothers and sisters. فَاجْتِنَابُ ظَاهِرِ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ. اجْتِنَابُ ظَاهِرِ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ. We are to avoid the external of the ism, which is a sin, and the internal of the sin, that is the sins of our hearts. The acts of our hearts are the bursts of will and wants and intentions and desires that we have inside of us. Those are the acts, the af'al of the qulub. Whereas the af'al of the jawarih, the acts of the limbs, each one of them has its own physical acts. But the act of the qalb is the will, the irada of the qalb. What the qalb wills and loves and hates and fears and hopes and intends and is motivated to, those are the desires. Those are the af'al of the qulub. And those are also subject to dhunub and subject to ta'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subject to sins and subject to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please remember that. And oftentimes, because we are so careless perhaps about our external sins, naturally those of us who are very careless about external sins are completely oblivious pertaining to internal sins. We are not even aware of their existence. Because to be conscious of the state of the qalb and to listen to the qalb, muraqabatul qulub, is a stage more advanced in the tazkiyah of the nufus, in the cleansing and the purification of the nufus, and its prerequisite module is to have passed already with a good grade the fight and the course of fighting against the external sins and being watchful of those through tawbah and through blocking the means that lead to them, my dear brothers and sisters. Sins of the qulub pertain to, again, such ailments that of which I have mentioned, and including al-hirs, wal-tama, wal-hasad, wal-shuh, wal-ujb, wal-ghurur. All of these are dhunub, sins. Al-shuh, inner greed, is a dhunb. Inner greed is a dhunb, is an ism. Al-hirs, that violent insistence and want, and insisting on having the matters of dunya. I underline the matters of dunya. That's the negative hirs. That's the hirs that is despised, that in strong burst of desire for the ornaments of this dunya, for the goods of this dunya, that is in contradistinction to the goods of akhirah. That is good. الحرص على الخير, الحرص على الدين, الحرص على العلم, الحرص على التوحيد, الحرص على الطاعة خير. أما الحرص على الدنيا, أما الحرص على المال, أما الحرص على الجاه, فهي من المهلكات الموبقات. As to the حرص pertaining to power, سلطان والجاه, and authority, leadership, and الحرص pertaining to wealth are most destructive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described this type of inner sin of our hearts when he said, مَا ذِئْبَانِ جَائِعَانِ أُرْسِلَ فِي زَرِيبَةٍ بِأَفْسَدَ لَهَا مِنْ حِرْصِ الْمَرْءِ أو الرجل المسلم على المال والجاه في دينه. That two wolves, two hungry ferocious wolves, unleashed against an enclosure of sheep and are allowed to enter freely, those two ferocious wolves unleashed against those sheep are less destructive, said he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, less destructive than two things for the deen of an individual. And those two things are الحرص على المال والجاه أو الشرف. Insisting, حرص, wanting more and insisting on having more wealth and more power and more authority. These are more destructive for the deen of the abd than relatively two ferocious wolves let loose inside the ranch. Of a ranch of sheep or of cattle, my dear brothers and sisters. Al-hirs is marav. Hirs is a dhamb. Al-hasad, I would call it violent desire for what others have. Violent, that's what I would call it. That's envy and all of that. What does it mean when I still have to understand what it means by what I feel? And al-hasad is not ghabta. Al-hasad is a violent want. I want what you have of knowledge or of wealth or of status or of goodness or of deen. I want it violently, meaning I wished you didn't have it. I wished I had it. With a violent flavor inside. Of despise almost for why you have it and I don't, which amounts to wal-iyad billah, rebellion against tawheed al-ubudiyah or tawheed al-rububiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For it is Allah who divides shares amongst His creatures with wisdom and knowledge, whatever that share is. Hasad is vile in so many ways, and hasad is a state of your qalb. A person can never even see it sometimes. person can be inside burning with hasad, a Muslim towards another Muslim or towards a non-Muslim. Hasad, violent want of what someone else has. Disease of the qalb that we have to take care of. Al-ujub, you know, to be, you know, self-admiring, if you will, you know, to admire oneself and to be impressed by oneself. Oftentimes it is taught as a virtue in some environments. Wal-iyadu billah, al-ujub. And al-ujub is one of the most destructive ailments for the qulub, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. Thalathun muhlikat, shuhun muta', shuhun muta', wa hawan muttaba', wa i'jabu al-mar'i bi nafsih. Wa i'jabu al-mar'i bi nafsih, said he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three matters are destructive. Shuhun muta', an obeyed greed. Obeyed in a greed. You know, being self-focused, self-oriented. The self is at the core of all my and most my activities and my wants and my desires and my projects and my life. Self, self, self. And the freedom of the self and the fulfillment of the self. Self, self. Shuhun muta, I obey my inner greed. Most destructive. Wa hawan muttaba, and intellectual inclinations and philosophical inclinations and so on, and views that we follow. Hawa, and al-hawa is any inclination, intellectual, philosophical, etc., ideological, that goes against the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That goes against the reference of what is right and wrong, the reference of what is moral and immoral, the reference of what is good and evil, and the reference is the source of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we disengage ourselves from the source of all knowledge, from the source of all good, then we have disengaged ourselves intellectually and philosophically from that, and that is hawa. And that is ittiba'ul hawa. Wa hawan muttaba, followed hawa. And i'jabul mar'i bi nafsi, thirdly, one being self-admiring and being impressed by his or her own self. Destructive acts of the qulub. You see, they're not external sometimes. Yet sometimes, yes, they do actualize and externalize themselves in so many ways. But sometimes they remain still there. And they do exist. And when the occasion presents itself, they are actualized. And they are acts of the qulub, my dear brothers and sisters. Sometimes we are in ujb without ever, you know, communicating that to anyone. But we still are in a state of ujb. You know, sometimes even when some people, perhaps when we perform ibadah, sometimes at one point there are bursts of ujb, there are bursts of self-admiration rather than self-humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mah of obeying Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, I see myself as the doer. I see myself as the achiever. Ijabul mar'i bi nafsih, my dear brothers and sisters. Al-ghurur, of course, is one again of the worst ailments. Al-ghurur. Al-ghurur is, in other words, in a sense, is to be deceived by the extent of one's ability and capacity and power. Al-ujub is you admire yourself. Al-ghurur, you're deceived by it. You assess yourself vis-a-vis others, and in actualizing that state more than you really are. So if you have wealth or power or status or knowledge or whatever means you have, the ghurur will lead you to use them in ways beyond their capacity. For example, a person is with ghurur who thinks that all the power of the universe, or the little power that he has relative to the power in the universe, with that he can challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is worse of a ghurur than that? What is worse of a ghurur than that? Wal-iyadu billah. Or a person who assesses himself or herself above what they really are and actualize that in some aspects of their lives, in their endeavors economically or politically or socially or militarily or in whichever way. That is ghurur. I have only so much ability, and I think because of the bombastic nature of my nafs, I see that inflated. I see that inflated. And I think I can do so much when actually it's nothing. I'm really a paper tiger. Like the one who used it and turned out to be a real paper tiger. Al-ghurur, and al-ghurur is a state of the qalb, is a state of the nafs, my dear brothers and sisters. All of these are actions of the qalb. Af'alu al-qulub. And we sometimes are oblivious to that. And they are sometimes worse than externalized actions. Let's say a person uses his or her eyesight to look at something haram spontaneously or instantaneously for a moment, that is still wrong. But that compared to an act of the qalb of belittling another fellow human being or another Muslim internally and enjoying it, which is worse. The second one is worse. Or an act of riya inside, which is worse. The second one is worse. The act of riya is worse in the balance and in the scale of zunub, my dear brothers and sisters. We also classify zunub in other ways. Zunub committed by the senses, zunub committed by ghafla. By ghafla. Ghafla is a state in which we are not conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though we may not be doing physically or actually anything wrong. That's another level, that's a deeper dimension of dhunub. So some ibad may not be committing at all, perhaps, or very, very rarely, some very, very minor violations. Lemon. Yet their dhunub for them would be to spend a moment in a state of unawareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of ghafla ani Allah azza wa jal, not conscious in some form of dhikr with their hearts in particular, or their tongues and both of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ghafla. And that's why the tawbah is of different types. That is, a tawbah to mina as-sayyi'ati wal-khataya wa tawbah to mina al-zalali wal-ghafla. For some, their tawbah is from the dhunub that we've been talking about so far. And for some, their tawbah is from the state of ghafla. Tawbatu al-khawas, مثل ما يقولون, tawbatun min al-zalali wal-ghafla. The very, very minor and almost undetectable dhunub and ghafla. And ghafla is again the state of being spending moments being unconscious, unaware, not in a state of full awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's them for them. Not in a state of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one way or the other. That is them. And then there is a third grade of that also, of dhunub. And that is ru'yatul hasanat. ولذلك النوع الثالث من التوبة التوبة من رؤية الحسنات. That the person this level, advanced level in the person's spiritual path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that when he or she does good, is how should I put it, is aware of doing that good, is رؤيه الحسنه literally says one sees his or her own good deed. One is conscious and sees his her own deed, is has sight on his or her good deeds. And that's a dhanb, ajeeb. Why is it a dhanb? Because he or she should at that level see whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and tawfiq, because that person would be at a deeper level of his consciousness of tawheed al-rububiyyah. And that everything that is good that I do is not actually by me but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he should see instead, or she should see instead, the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala operating through him. He should see himself or herself only as an instrument in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand. That he should see with his qalb the meaning of لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. In other words, لا حول, لا تحويل للمعاصي عن العبد, ولا قوة على طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. This which we say often, at that level it means this. And as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم explains, that truly no evil, no sayyi'ah, no sin, no disobedience is prevented or avoided except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawl, removal. Wa la quwwata, in other words, and there is no power, positive energy to obey and do good except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person at that level, if he or she does good and is conscious of his own energy and power of doing good, that's a dhanb at his level, whereas it is not a dhanb at the levels of those who are not at that level. لِذَلِكَ قَالُوا حَسَنَاتُ الصَّالِحِينَ سَيِّئَاتُ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. And here we understand it. That's why they said the righteous acts of the righteous ones are sins for those who are nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this sense, not in a sense that doesn't make sense. Well, at this level, one would describe that also, that dhanb of the qalb is when it is in a state of awareness of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أن يرى القلب ما سوى الله عز وجل. At one level, for the anbiya, for the rusul, for some muqarrabuna min Allah عز وجل, it is a dhanb to have anything remaining inside the heart that is other than Allah عز وجل. For them, that's a thumb. Because I think you can think about it and you see that it is, of course, very beautiful, and it's commonsensical even. Because when you are so nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have seen the glory and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart, and you're enjoying His presence, and you have seen Him as one subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything in this universe, how can you keep anything inside of your heart but Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no one in his heart in that sense except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart, of course, is not just a physical box in a physical dimension. Much complex than that. It's timeless, and a compartment of it, sirru qalb, is intended to be for no other but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that khulla is not permitted in my heart for anyone. Khulla is not permitted in my heart for anyone. Khulla is a state of love, of hubb, in which the hubb has penetrated the innermost depths of the qalb. يعني الخل من التخلل إذا تخلل الحب قلب العبد فهو في حال الخلة. لذلك قال الشاعر قد تخللت مسلك الروح مني وبذا سمي الخليل خليلا. You have تخللت, the verb is to pierce through, to penetrate the innermost depths of my heart or my soul. That is why the Khalil was called a Khalil. That's why Rasulullah is the Khalil of Allah. That's why Ibrahim alayhi salam is the Khalil of Allah, because the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has penetrated and pierced through their innermost depths of their souls and hearts. And there is none in there. And that's why he said, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا ولكن صاحبكم خليل الله سبحانه وتعالى. أو كما قال, he said, and therefore were I to take a خليل, it would have been Abu Bakr, but not even Abu Bakr, for my خليل is Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And thus at some levels like that, to have other than Allah in one's قلب is a ذنب. And sometimes then we would understand when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I seek refuge, I seek istighfar, I seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times a day. So from what type of dhanb? Now you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in nearness to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we first be forgiven our major sins and our minor sins and our lemon light minor sins, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads us insha'Allah ta'ala, and He is latifun lima yasha, that before we join with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, before we go ultimately to Him through death, that He would have cleansed our qulub such that, Ya Rabbi, inshaAllah, we would be of those whose concern is with al-ghafla and with the presence of Adha than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. My dear brothers and sisters, at-tawbah is the way by which we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taba in the Arabic language means to return, to come back. Tawbah is a return, is a coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From shirk to tawheed, from sin to obedience, from ignorance to knowledge, from fear to security, from wrong to right, from evil to good, from ghafla to consciousness, to dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from being distant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to being nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ghafla, al-tawbatu hasanatun walakinnaha fi shababi ahsan. My dear brothers and sisters, as it is said, tawbah is beautiful, but when it comes at an early age from a youth, it is even more beautiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us a tawbah that is truly nasuh. May we always be in a state of tawbah insha'Allah ta'ala. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. For verily Allah has hubb for those who often repent to Him and those who often cleanse and purify themselves. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. until 4:30. Please do not do anything else except being in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this is a very important window of opportunity. Yes, we were in another form of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I want us to focus that when we leave here, that this time of after asr until maghrib, and when you're done from work, or when you are at work, be in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the sun sets, in particular a lot of tasbih, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, and tahleel, and reading Quran, but alhamdulillah, a lot of tasbih and istighfar and other adhkar that are shared with you in the booklets that was distributed to you, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.